Troy Slaw, candidate for Uinta County Commission seat, being vacated by Brad Horks, is in the KVEL studios this evening. Now, Troy Slaw is not on the primary ballot this year because he's running as an unaffiliated candidate. Troy is a lifelong resident of Uinta County and a retired Uinta County Sheriff's Deputy. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk KVEL. We'd like to welcome Troy Slaw to the Evans Family Media Studios to discuss his campaign. Troy, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Been a while since we've talked on the air. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Troy, you've been a conservative your entire life. Why are you running now as an unaffiliated candidate?
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons why I made that decision. First of all, I've been a little bit disillusioned with the whole process, both Democrats and Republicans, maybe not on the county level, but it's just in general, they polarize, go to each of their own corners, and nothing really gets done. So that's been a little frustrating for me, but even more specifically, in our local situation, I made that decision out of experience. I've run for commission before. The first time I ran against Bill Stringer, Dwayne Shepherd jumped into that race, and people were quite upset over time that we had three candidates. That it was a concern to them. They hated the idea that one of the candidates may be able to win the seat with 33-34% of the vote. And in that election, Bill Stringer beat me by a couple hundred votes. Dwayne had ended up finishing third. He'd won the convention. And so that process, I saw that there were some flaws in that whole process. And no matter what, in the end, there were people that were very upset about us splitting the vote. Some people blame me for Dwayne not winning, or some of my people would blame Dwayne for me not winning. And I can see their point, right? Where Bill only won that by 200 votes. Certainly if Dwayne hadn't have been in my race, I don't think it would have been close. I would have won that seat. But there was a lot of contention about it, right? And that happens in June. And then in November, there's one name on the ballot. That was, in that case, Bill Stringer. And the choice was over. Same kind of thing happened 4 years ago when I ran for commission. There was three of us in the race. We split the vote. There were some people mad at me that Sean Labram wasn't able to win. Some people that probably were mad at Sean Labram that I wasn't able to win. And people were just generally upset at the idea that somebody could win that seat with 33-34% of the vote.
Well, here we are with a three-way race again. We have Willis Lefevre, we have Danny Mortensen, we have Troy Slaw.
That's right.
Three good choices, by the way.
Thank you. That's why I took my experience and made a good decision in my mind. I stepped back. I unaffiliated with the party. I don't need a party to tell me what to do. I can make wise decisions for this county based on my experience. I can work with people. I have the same conservative values I've always had. I have the same connections with the people of this community. Now, here, the ballot's in the mail. People have a choice between Danny and Willis. They get to choose, and one of those two candidates will get 50% plus one or more of the vote, and they'll win the primary. And then they'll join me on the ballot in November. Trump and I will show up in November, and people can choose between me and whichever one of those guys makes it through.
You talked about conservative values. Now, many register as Republican, but they're more liberal in their political views. I mean, we have centrist Republicans, we have far-right Republicans, we have far-left Republicans. When the subject of conservative values comes up, how do you define conservative values?
Yeah, I'm conservative. And in government, you have to remember, the money you're spending is the taxpayer money. It's not your money. So you have to be conservative. Your risks, how you spend money, you be conservative. It's a serious matter to take into consideration when you're spending money for your community, for the betterment of your community. You have to be conservative. My values align completely with the Republican Party, just like they always have. And frankly, even now, as an unaffiliated voter, I've been in some ways more involved with the party and the party candidates than the other guys in the race. I've continued to be very involved as I can with Republican candidates. My principles are the same, pro-life, pro-democracy, or I wouldn't even say pro-democracy, pro-Constitution. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the Constitution in general. My values are the same, and I've always been very involved in the Republican Party. It's just a choice that I made to do this time, and I feel really good about it.
Okay, what are you hearing from citizens of Uinta County on the campaign trail?
Oh, initially, you know, people were really curious why I did that and concerned, but pretty much everybody I talk to, as they start to understand that, I mean, I've had a lot of feedback. I've got support with many of the leaders of the Republican Party. I've got support from many community leaders. I'm excited about it. I think people are, as they start to understand what has happened and why I've done this and see that it really gives them a choice in November that they don't usually have, people are excited about it. And I think they're going to become more excited about it as this continues. And after June 26th, when we eliminate one of those candidates, I'm really excited about the way the future looks and for my campaign also.
Regarding issues, what issues seem to be on the forefront of voters' minds?
Well, certainly right now, the big issue in Uinta County is the taxation, the property tax increase that was proposed last fall. You know, that was a big deal. It's been a big deal. It's important. And then, of course, last week, 2 weeks ago, the imposition of the 0.3% sales tax increase has just kind of inflamed that situation a lot. And so people want to know, people are upset. People are frustrated with Biden economics and the struggles that everybody's having. And then we add on top of that a tax increase, and people are justifiably upset about that.
So we had a proposed property tax increase of 73.11% on the county's portion of the property taxes that was presented last fall. Do you feel that the county currently has the financial resources to meet its obligations? Do we even know what how much money we have?
Exactly.
It seems to change every time, depending on who you're talking to.
Yep. Super frustrating.
Or do we need a property tax increase? What are your feelings?
Super frustrating. This is a fact, right? Whether the money's there, whether the money's not there, it shouldn't be up to somebody's opinion. And certain people say it is. Some people that say it isn't. What I do know is that the budget has, in the last couple of years, has increased greatly. So if we don't have the money, I'm super concerned about that, right? There's a process we go through. Certified tax rate gives us the same amount of property of revenue to work with every year. And if you want to go outside of that revenue stream and you need more, then you do a truth in taxation hearing. You go to the public, you make the case, you explain to them why you want it, what you're going to do with it, and you go through that process and you build consensus. You try to bring people on board. And that hasn't happened, right?
How do you feel about that not happening? Do you feel that there's transparency in our local county commissioners?
Yeah, no. Transparency is the big deal, one of the big deals that we need to change. You know, that they did do a truth in taxation, right, the last time. And what we saw loud and clear from that, and they should have learned, and we all should have learned, whether it was needed or not, the revenue was needed for whatever purpose. What was clear is that our community, the constituents, the voters, the citizens, have no appetite for a tax increase. And you have to respect that. If that's where you're at and you're a commissioner and you're still just convinced that we've got these shortfalls that have to be met, then you take it to the public and you make that pitch and you get people on board and convince them. And I would want, especially after what we saw with 2,000 plus people in that convention center upset and generally opposed, if I was a commissioner and I was looking to raise property taxes, sales tax increase, whatever, I would want a room full of a lot of people saying, Troy's explained this to us and shown us where we need this money and why we need this money. He's made the pitch. These other commissioners, they've explained it. And we agree with them. That's best for our community. Because what I know about this community, if there are things we need and you explain that and show them why, they'll step up. This community will step up and take care of what's best for this community. But you have to go through that process and explain it. And I just don't think that's been well done. And I will do better as your commissioner. We will do better. We have to communicate. We have to be more transparent. Whether we have the funds or we don't have the funds is not a question of opinion. That's literally fact. What money is there? Where's the money being spent? What money is not there?
What would you do as a commissioner if you weren't getting correct information, if it was being withheld from you?
Day one, I have advocated a lot for a software called ClearGov. National Association of Counties uses it, recommends it. Utah Association of Counties recommends it, uses it. It can literally plug into our current software with minimal extra duties and make our numbers transparent. Put them on the web, explain them to even the simplest of people like me. Help us to show what was in the budget, what has been spent at all times. And that'd be great for our department heads. That'd be great for our citizens. Even our capital outlay projects. Boom, you put it right there. It shows we allocated this much money, or we expected this project to cost this much. This is what we spent. This is what we've done. And you, at all times, you can see what is there, what we spent. And I think that needs to happen for our special service districts too. I would advocate for that. I've talked to the current commissioners. They've looked at the ClearGov just recently, within the last few weeks, at the last Association of Counties meeting. They like ClearGov. We can get it at a very good rate. We don't need to hire a special CEO to come in and try to explain things, or we don't need varying viewpoints. We just need to put the facts, the literal facts, in front of the people. And you know what? I think that helps our community, because if the people are able to see that there are shortfalls, or that we have tightened the belt, then they're going to help. They're going to come to bat for us on projects that we need. But if they can see that we're reckless, or we're not taking care of what we've been allocated, they're not going to be on board.
Troy Slaw, during the public meeting in November, commissioners had hired an accountant to come in from out of town to explain to the citizens there in that public meeting why that the average person can't understand financials from a county's perspective. Yeah. Because government financials are more complicated.
Sure.
What do you feel about that? Are they much more complicated that we don't have the brain matter between our ears to
understand? Well, some of these things are complicated, but again, I feel like that's the job of the clerk, that's the job of the commissioners, to over-communicate, to simplify, to make it in all forms, speak to the people in various different ways to communicate a message. And if you're wanting a certain project done, you communicate, you over-communicate, you find different ways to communicate and explain, and you listen and you take feedback. And some of it's complicated, but we can make it a lot less complicated by just being transparent, open, and communicative.
Opponents have filed a referendum to put the question of the sales tax increase on the ballot. Would you support that referendum?
I am on the fence with whether I'm going to sign the referendum or not. I am opposed to the tax increase, and that's because of various reasons. Largely, a lot of it because of the way it happened. I have some concerns with the background, maybe on how it's come about. Two things I want to concede right up front. Right, Sheriff Labor is my friend. He's a good man. He's a good sheriff. We've got a great department. I worked for a great department. We've built, that department and our law enforcement out here has been built over 40 or 50 years or 30 years that I've been around and involved in it. We've established a pretty good record and reputation of doing solid work, and Steve has continued that. We need to support our law enforcement, and I think our community does. He's got some challenges with the wages and costs of policing nowadays, and we've got to work with that. I think he's got some concerns that are very complicated. So I concede that he's got some challenges, and we need to address them, and we need to support him in his challenges. Second thing I want to concede is it's clear to me, I'm not stupid, I can see that a sales tax increase is probably a better way of doing things than a property tax increase, because it allows some of those costs to be spread over tourists and a little bit of everybody, and not just the property owners. So it helps us to fund that, right? So I concede those two things, but fundamentally there are some aspects to the way this happened that I don't, and I want to be careful, because this is a kind of maybe a harsh word. I don't believe that the process has been completely honest or transparent or communicated well. And because of that, even if it is the best answer to help take care of our sheriff's office, I have a hard time endorsing it. And I will watch as it proceeds to determine whether I sign that referendum or not. Because then in the end, we are going to have to do something to help Steve. But I don't think it's clear.
Do you really think that the money will actually end up, all of it, the $4.5 million will end up in Steve's budget?
Well, I will.
Or is it a shell game? Will it be moved?
Okay, I'm gonna turn that back on you and just say that at no time during this process has anybody said that sheriff's $8.5 roughly million jail budget is going to go to $14.5 million. At no time has anybody said that his sheriff's operations budget is going to go from 6 to 11. We haven't heard that. So do I think that this roughly $4.5 million tax increase is going to go into the sheriff's office? No, I don't think that at all. Do I think technically the money collected will go into public safety? Yeah, certainly. But
what about the money that's already being invested in public safety? Will that be withdrawn and put into the general fund balance?
Right. That's the shell game that you refer to. And I think that there's no doubt that some of that is likely to be the case. And if that's the case, then we're basically boiled back down to not particularly a public safety sales tax increase. We're just back to a sales tax increase. And if that's what we were going to do, we should have, again, gone back to learning from what we did wrong in October. We should have over-communicated, explained, build consensus, bring the community on board, go through the process, explain why we're needing the money, what we've done to tighten the belt, what is still a shortfall, what our plan is over 2 or 3 years to solve that problem. And I think if you give it to the people in those terms, here's what we've done to tighten, here's what's not covered, here's what our plan is, I think this community buys in on that. But we didn't learn from that process. In fact, we super fast-tracked this process, and for that reason, I'm inclined to not be super comfortable with it.
If, by chance, that money is moved out of it, it's not fair to the Uinta County deputies who are going to be expecting a raise, right?
It's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to Sheriff Labrum, who's got built goodwill by doing things a certain way. It's not fair to the deputies. It's not fair to the other employees. It's not fair, most of all, to the citizens.
If the money does stay in his budget, in addition to the money that's already there, would that be fair to Vernal City and Naples City police departments, who are also struggling to keep police officers because of the competitive nature of the industry?
Well, I think there's always some competitive nature that some, you know.
But we need to fund more, right, in order to be competitive.
Right.
To be in the game.
And I'm not super, you know, that's at this point, my heart's always been with the county. And so I'm not necessarily, I get that. The concerns of Vernal City and Naples City is that that sales tax will be collected from purchases within their boundaries, and they see no proceeds from that. And I do see the concern. My biggest concern is just that we do things right, we go through the process, and if we need to raise taxes, we need to communicate, explain that, go through the process.
If you're just joining us, we're visiting with Troy Slaw. He is a candidate for Uinta County Commission. He's running as an independent candidate in the seat being vacated by Brad Horrocks. Troy Slaw, Uinta County Commission recently removed the standard protocol for a second motion, thus allowing each commissioner to have input at the decision in hand, if you have a second. Without the second motion to approve, two commissioners can monopolize the voting decision. We've seen that happen. Was that a good decision for the citizens of Uinta County to remove that second motion protocol that has always been there to allow each commissioner to have their opinion expressed?
Here we go. This is another complicated question. That
not really.
Well, it's complicated.
It's fairness.
It's complicated in that it's probably.
It's political.
It's political in that my answer is probably going to offend a certain amount of people. I'm less concerned about the second than I'm concerned about. You've only got three commissioners. They signed up for a job. They said they will advocate for Uinta County. They will advocate for laws that affect us well. They will advocate for our public right, our public access, our property, our water rights. They will advocate for Uinta County in all ways. They signed up for that. They ran for that. And the voters put their trust in them and said, please do. And on top of that, they paid him a super hefty salary.
So should one commissioner be excluded from those decisions? Which is essentially what's happened.
Yeah.
What about the voters that support that candidate or that commissioner? Should their voice not be heard?
Here's what this is what's going to offend some people. Here's what I expect out of every one of those commissioners.
I'm offending people by just asking the question.
Every one of those commissioners should be coming to work and working their butts off to earn, to honor the trust that's been placed in them by the voters and earn the salary, the hefty, huge salary that they're getting. And I don't care if they don't get along with each other. If the two other commissioners I don't like or they don't like me, that's when I need to come to work even more to make sure that I advocate for my positions and the things that I see are in the best interest of Uinta County. I would never stop coming to work. I would never pout out of a meeting. I would never stop showing up because the voters of this county expect and should expect more out of those commissioners, every single one of them. Work. Go to work for Uinta County. Because what we have this really bad habit in the basin that I love, right? This is my home. I love it. But we do have this really super bad habit of not paying attention to what's going on. And then all of a sudden a law is passed that affects us adversely, and we're all up in arms, and we go on Facebook, and we talk about it, and we're upset, and you do a radio show about on it for a couple of days in the morning, and the newspaper does an article about it, and we're upset for 3 or 4 days, and then we just comply. And you know why we have to do that? Because we don't pay attention year-round. Those commissioners need to be working just as hard in August and September and October when bills and legislation are being drafted. They need to be plugged into Utah Association of Counties. They need to be plugged into my friend Scott Chu. They need to be paying attention to what legislation is being written. They need to be reading those laws and being plugged into those committees and be able to say, hey, I see this bill about water sales that you're going to sell off some of our water that's going to affect us adversely. And they need to be able to call Scott and say, Scott, are you seeing this? And he may say, no, I didn't think of it that way. And not just Scott. We need commissioners that are working to advocate for you and again. I'm not saying it's not being done, but it's not being done to what we expect. I mean, frankly, we've got, because of personality issues or feeling like you're outvoted, you're always going to be outvoted. At some point, somebody's outvoted. Go to work. To work.
We're running out of time, and in the short time that we have left, I wanted to ask you one more question or subject matter. Council form of county government. There's a group of citizens who are currently pretty upset with the way the county's being operated, and they've are asking the county commissioners to form an exploratory committee to form a council form of county government, which would change it from a 3-council member to a committee of 5, 7, or 9 part-time county council members and a full-time county manager. They also are looking at an option of putting this as a referendum, gathering the signatures needed to put it on the ballot. What are your feelings about changing the management of our county from a 3-member commission to a council form of government? And would this question have even been brought up had people been happy with the transparency and the job that's being done with our county commission?
Yeah, bingo. This is along the same lines of what I was just talking about. I'm listening, right? I'm listening to all views. I've done a lot of my own research about the current 5-6 counties that have different forms of government. I'm interested in the ideas and the reasoning and how it's literally affected them and the salaries and all of that. I'm interested in listening. I do lean to keeping our 3-person form of government because I think that it needs somebody that's full-time. It needs somebody like me that's going to be putting in 50, 55 hours every week and working hard and advocating around the clock. But I have some concerns with different – they're each one of these ideas have concerns, right? If you're a council manager with part-time council members or commission members, but with a manager, again – you're getting a part-time worker, or are they going to be able to advocate for you in a county like needs to happen? I love a lot of what I see at Vernal City. I'm a big fan of Quinn Bennion, what he does as a manager of a city manager. One of my concerns is you're not always going to have Quinn Bennion.
I got to tell you, I went to a public meeting that the Vernal City Council held on the property, the Lamplighter property. That was the way a public meeting should be handled.
Amen.
That was the way it should have been managed, because there wasn't one person that was turned away from offering their opinion, and they all felt they were heard, no matter what position that they were taking.
Amen. And a lot of that comes from somebody like Quinn.
That's who transparency.
Takes, who takes their job seriously and tries to do things right, and communicates and openly tries to exchange in information and ideas. And if we were doing that, if we had three commissioners that were working their butts off and doing what they need to be doing, you're right. This wouldn't even be a conversation. We need commissioners, whether they're in office, whether they're in office in the future, that work and advocate for UNA County and advocate for the citizens of this county in the way that we expect. And it's going to get better. We're going to get better. I'm going to get in there, hopefully, and I'm going to work hard. And
Troy Slav, what are your final comments in the literal 2 minutes that we have remaining for the citizens of UNA County?
I just want to say I'm excited to be in the position I am. Sometimes you have to step back and to make things change, you have to step back and do something a little bit different. And that's what I've done here. I've stepped back. I've tried to change things in a little bit different way, the way I ran. And I think that we got to change the way we do things. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm excited about this campaign. I am excited about the future of our county, but it's going to take some work. We've got to pull this together. We've got to work hard. And we've got to start listening and be transparent and care about the citizens. Hear are the citizens. Be a true, transparent, open, listening organization that cares about the details, that cares about the facts. And I think we're going to get better. I'm excited about that.
Troy Slaw, candidate for UNA County Commission seat being vacated by Brad Horrocks. Troy Slaw,
I just want to say, again, reminder, I am not on your ballot in your mailbox right now. Please vote for whichever candidate you think is best, and then vote for me in November when Trump and I show up on your ballot.
All right, Troy Slaw, candidate for UNA County Commission seat, being vacated by Brad Horrocks. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Evans, and we appreciate you joining us for this candid conversation about local politics.